सर्वपापहितमुच्यते
भवता
संहितां हेता एभिर्ब्रह्म ऋषिभिर्धृता शुक्रवै तच्छन्दसां व्यासं सर्वपापहितमुच्यते पञ्चाम्बायन शिष्यावे चरकाध्वर्यो अभवन् यच्चेरु ब्रह्म हत्याहं शपनं स्वगुरोर्व्रतम् The disciples of Vanshampayana became authorities in the Atharva Veda. They were known as the Charakas because they executed strict vows to free their guru from his sin of killing a brahmana. याज्ञवल्क्यश्च तच्छिष्य आहाहो भगवन्त्य चरितेनाल्पसाराणां चरिष्येऽहं सुदुश्चरम् Once Yajnavalkya, one of the disciples of Vanshampayana, said, O Master, how much benefit will be derived from the feeble endeavors of these weak disciples of yours? I will personally perform some outstanding penances. Text 63. Ityukto guru apyah upito yahalam toya Vipravamantra Shishena Madadhitam Tyajashupya. Addressed thus, the spiritual master Vanshampayana became angry and said, Go away from here. Enough of you, O disciple, who insult Brahmanas. Furthermore, you must immediately give back everything I have taught you. Purport. Sri Vanshampayana was angry because one of his disciples, Yajnavalkya, was insulting the other disciples, who were after all qualified brahmanas. Just as a father is disturbed when one son mistreats the father's other children, the spiritual master is very displeased if a proud disciple insults or mistreats the guru's other disciples. मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरो दीनकारिणं श्रीचैतन्येश्वरं परमानन्दमाधवं असाधुना साधुतारे अतिनीचोच्चतकरं హనుమం చాకదాచిం ప్రేమార్మతి లతుకం తలస్పురం. హరే కృష్ణ. సో ఐ సీక్ బ్లెసింగ్స్ ఫ్రమ్ ఆల్ ద అసెంబ్లీ డివోషనల్స్ సో దట్ ఐ కెన్ స్పీక్ ఆన్ దిస్ ఎక్సాల్టెడ్ టాపిక్ అండ్ ఆల్సో వెరీ డిఫికల్ట్ వన్ బికాస్ హియర్ ఇట్ ఈస్ బీన్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్ వన్ డిసైపుల్ మిస్ట్రీటింగ్ అనదర్ డిసైపుల్ ఆఫ్ ద గురు. సో ఇట్స్ వెరీ ఆల్ ఆర్డర్ టు స్పీక్ ఆన్ దిస్ టాపిక్. సో టుడే ఐ బీన్ స్పీకింగ్ ఆన్ three subjects basically in this. The first, this chapter describes about passing away of Maharaj Parikshit, so I'll be speaking on that. The second thing is the story of Yajnavalkya and his disciple, Vaishampayana and his disciple Yajnavalkya. And third thing I'll be discussing about today is the disciples way of Shri Narottamdas Thakur, who showed utmost dedication to his guru Shri Loknath Goswami. So, first few verses of this chapter, till text number 35, this chapter describes about passing away of Maharaj Parikshit, and many devotees spoke about how glorious Maharaj Parikshit's departure was. And then the chapter discussed about how Sukhdeva Goswami left that place, and also sacrifice, the snake sacrifice of prayer performed by son Janmajay, Parikshit Maharaj's son Janmajay. So, in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto itself, Shanakadi Rishi, they asked Sukhdeva Goswami about Parikshit Maharaj. Ashwatthama upasrushtena brahmashishne nurute jasa uttaraya hato garbha ishena jivitapuna. So, Shanakadi Rishi, they asked Sukhdeva Goswami that Ashwatthama upasrushtena, that Brahmana who became angry and who threw Brahmastra, Brahma Shirshena. Well, it's a deadly combination. First of all, he's a Brahmana and a Brahmastra. Both are infallible. And what it created when Ashwatthama threw that Brahmastra? So it split into six. So five arrows went towards Pandavas and one went to killing the last descendant, which was in the girl, in the embryo of Uttara. So Uttaraya Hato Garbha. So Lord Krishna protected Pandavas through Sudarshan, and he personally went to protect Parikshit Maharaj in the world. And that Peter was there, Hato Garbha. But because of Krishna's mercy, because of Krishna's blessings, Ishena Jivitahapuna, he was again revived back to life. His life was restored by Lord Krishna. And why his life was restored? It was described that Devena Pratighatena Shukle Sanstapam Upayeshu Rato Anugrahataya Vishnuna Prada Vishnuna. Why his life was restored? What was so special about Parikshit Maharaj? So Prabhupada writes two reasons why Lord Krishna restored Parikshit Maharaj's life. Shukle means he was a spotless devotee of Lord Krishna. From the beginning of his life, from his womb. So Sanstha means completely destroyed. Again, it has been said that the fetus was completely destroyed. But because he was a spotless devotee of the Lord, therefore, Lord protected him. And second thing, which Prabhupada writes, Anugrahathaya. So Lord Krishna was so much pleased with Maharaj Yudhishthira, his dedication, his sacrifice, and his willingness to surrender to the will of the Lord. Santana Bija, Kuru Pandava Santana Bija. Because he fought for the Dharma, Yudhishthira Maharaj fought this battlefield on the Kurukshetra, just to establish dharma. And to continue that lineage of Rajarshis, Lord Krishna protected Parikshit Maharaj. Tasma Namna Vishnuratan, therefore, his name came to be known as Vishnura. Rata means Rakshitam. Rata means Rakshitam. Vishnuna Rakshitam iti Vishnurata. One who has been protected by Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna, he is a Vishnurata. And another meaning of Rata is Aptam. Vishnuna Aptam iti Vishnurata. Means Lord Krishna considered Parikshit Maharaj his own person, Aptam. And therefore, Lord Krishna, from the beginning of his life, he demonstrated to Parikshit Maharaj how dear he was and how he takes care of his devotee. Because Yudhishthira and Pandavas, all these Pandavas were devotees of Lord, and Parikshit was dear to Pandavas. So Krishna is much more pleased with the devotee of his devotee. And therefore, Krishna displayed this pastime of protecting Parikshit Maharaj. And so much so that when he entered into the womb of Uttara, so he carried two weapons, one is Gada and one is Chakra, with the intention that if one weapon fails, so he can use another one to protect Parikshit Maharaj. So this was the love of Lord Krishna towards Parikshit Maharaj. And so beautifully arranged in his life that when he was cursed by Srinivi, so Shukdev Goswami arrived on the scene when Parikshit Maharaj gave up everything. So Shukdev Goswami came, who is known as a Brahmara. Acharya says that Shukdev Goswami is known as a Brahmara. Why Brahmara? Brahmara means one who has been protected by Brahma. Brahma means of course Krishna. Brahma Vaivat Puran describes the story that how Parikshit, Shukdev Goswami, he did not want to come out of the womb of his mother. So Lord Krishna personally came there, Vasudeva called Lord Krishna and assured that embryo or that fetus inside the womb that you will not be get affected by the surroundings or the illusory energy of this material world. Please come. So with that assurance which Lord Krishna gave to Shukdev Goswami, then he came out of the womb of his mother. So therefore, he is known as a Brahmara. So Lord Krishna protected Parikshit Maharaj's body. Definitely, and so he gave him a purpose, because throughout his life he was searching for Krishna. And in the life of Shukdev Goswami, he assured Parikshit Maharaj, Shukdev Goswami, that your consciousness will remain unaffected, because everyone gets affected by the surroundings. Surroundings, they overwhelm our consciousness. So Shukdev Goswami protected in this, when whole Bhagavatam was narrated, so he made sure that Parikshit Maharaja's consciousness remained protected. And that was the greatness of Parikshit Maharaj. That, of course, as a Kshatriya, for facing a death is not a problem for Kshatriya. Because they are ready. As soon as there is a challenge to fight, so they take part in a battlefield without any thought. They are not fearful of death. But what was most important in Parikshit Maharaj's life, that he overcame in the association of Parikshit Maharaj, in Shukdev Goswami, that he overcame that swabhava, that nature of a kshatriya. It's very important that one must transcend one's nature. And that was the glory of Parikshit Maharaj. So there was a nice story how it is very difficult to give up the swabhava, the nature. So this story comes in Mahabharata itself about one rishi, Uttanga, and King Poshya. So Uttanga Rishi, he was a disciple of Maharshi Ved. And Maharshi Ved was very much pleased with Uttanga, and he did not want his disciple to leave his ashram. But as time came, so he asked his permission. Uttanga Rishi asked permission from his guru that please allow me to move. So, and what Guru Dakshina can I offer to you? So, Maharshi Ved told that you go to the Guru Mata, his wife of Maharshi Ved, and ask her what she wants. So, you can fulfill her desire, and that is my Guru Dakshina. So he went to his Guru Mata and he asked, what shall I serve? How can I serve it? What shall I bring for you as a Guru Dakshina? So she asked the interesting thing. She asked that, I want earrings, kundala, karna kundala of king's wife, queen. So Uttanga said, okay, I'll bring. So he went to the King Poshya and asked him that, I want to fulfill the desire of my Guru Mata, and she has asked for earrings. So King Poshya, he welcomed this great Brahmana and wanted to fulfill his desire. So he said, yeah, you can go to that queen and ask her. So he went, asked, and Guru, that queen also agreed to give her that. So she gave that earrings. And while he was leaving, so King Poshya, that he developed the desire, hey, you know, such a great Brahmana has come to our place. It's very rare to see such a pure-hearted Brahmana. So why not perform Shraddha for our ancestors? Because by performing Shraddha to such a pure Brahmana, it's very beneficial. So he said, please, now you have come. I want to perform this ceremony. So he said, King Uttanga says, see, I have very less time because my Guru Mata has asked me to come back in 4 days back to the ashram and bring that. So because she wanted to use that earrings in some festival. So I don't have a time. But he said, then King Poshya very intimated and he said, rather, you know, please do this. Well, okay, do something quick. So he ordered few food to be prepared and that was brought in front of King Uttanga, this Uttanga Rishi. What happened? When he brought that food, actually that food was already stale, means it had become stale and it had a hair in it. And by that it became muji. So seeing that food, it is offered in this way. So Uttanga Rishi cursed the king. And I, what is this? You are asking me to perform this ceremony. And you are offering me such a inauspicious food, which is not proper. So I curse you to become blind. So immediately, King Poshya, he became angry at Uttanga Rishi. And he cursed him back, saying that the food is auspicious, it's a suchi, still you are calling it muchi. Therefore, I cursed you that you will be childless in your life. You will never be get child. So, he gave a curse, then he realized, Uttanga Rishi told her, you have offered me muchi food. And still you are cursing me back. See, there is a here, and he saw, he investigated how it had happened, and he came to know that one who was cook, the lady, she had his hair loose. She did not bind her hair. So that, because of that, they are following that food. And so he said, "Hey, please forgive. It was my mistake. Please forgive and relieve me from this curse." So Kanga Rishi immediately said, "Oh, no problem. I will relieve. You will become blind because I have already come, but immediately after some time you will get back your vision." Now Uttanga Rishi said, "You have cursed me. Now you take back your curse." So that time, this full posture said that Navanitam Radayam Brahmanasya Vati Kshuro Niti Krishnathara Tada Upabhayamitat Viparitam Chatriyasya Vanganavanitam Radayam Krishnathara. So he said that the heart of a Brahmana is like a Navanit, is like a Makkhan. Like a soft makkhan, butter, and his speech might be piercing, so he can immediately forgive, because you can forgive me immediately because you are Brahman. But the nature of Kshatriya, the speech of Kshatriya, they are very sweet externally, but their heart is like a Krishna heart. They cannot forgive. Their anger is so much. The revenge, that attitude is so much that they cannot forgive. So he said, "You have forgiven me, that's great because you are Brahmana, but I cannot forgive you. I cannot take back that curse." So that is the nature of a Kshatriya. So here in Parikshit Maharaja's day, he being a Kshatriya, he was apparently faultless, but still Shringi cursed him. So, after getting cursed by Shringi, Parikshit Maharaj was also capable of cursing him back. But he did not curse. He transcended that nature of a Kshatriya. And in this case, in Shingi's case, his father went to console him that, "Hare, please, he is faultless. His mistake is not that big. So take back your curse." So Shingi said, "I cannot take back." So his nature was, he was overpowered by the illusory energy, but here Parikshit Maharaj transcended the power of illusory nature. So that is the greatness, that is the departure shows. Parikshit Maharaj's departure shows that transcending one's nature, which is so difficult to overcome. And that is only possible in the association of the devotees. So that is the one benchmark of advancement, that how much we are able to transcend our innate nature. So, and another thing is spoken in this verse, and this is in this section, that about disciples of Vedavyas, how they distribute the knowledge. So Veda Vyasana Iti Vyasa. Vyas means one who has divided all these shrutis. Therefore he is called as Vyas. And all these disciples, Paila and all such disciples of Srila Vyasadeva, has distributed this knowledge throughout the world. And here particularly discussed about Vaishampayana Rishi. He is the same Vaishampayana Rishi who has spoken Mahabharata to Janmajaya in this survey. So his story has been discussed over here. And basically, of disciple, Yajnavalkya. And proper disciples, they write over here about the pride. But when one develops pride, then he thinks or he develops or he considers everything, every other thing is insignificant. So that is the nature of pride, that it makes significant things insignificant and insignificant things significant. And this particular, this month,
Kartik month or Damodar month, two important leelas which happened is of Ukhalbandhan and Govardhan Leela. So in both these stories, actually if you trace back, Nalkuvar and Manigriv, they were intoxicated with their with the pride, you know, of that dhana durmanand, of this opulences of wealth. And Indradev, he was also intoxicated with the power. That pride was there. That everyone in the whole universe is worshipping me, and only these Vrindavanvasis are not worshipping me. So that pride created all this subsequent pastime. So here it has been described about Vaishampayan Rishi, how he incurred that sin, because all these Shishyas, they were ready to help their guru to get rid of his sin. So what was that sin? So there is not much detail in Bhagavatam. So I just searched out where we can find out what exactly this sin is. So in Vishnu Puran, the story comes about how he incurred that Brahma Hatya sin, Vaishampayan Rishi. So all these sages, the disciples of Vedvyas, they had decided that they will assemble at Mount Meru to receive further knowledge. So that assembly, so they had informed all the disciples, all the Maharshis, all the Rishis, that please join the assembly within 7 days. So timeline was given. So 7 din ke andar, aap sab log Mount Meru par ek saath aa jana. So everyone came, and if somebody fails to reach there, so he will incur the sin of a Brahma Hatya. So all the sages, they assemble except Vaishampayan Rishi, because of some, that detail is not given. So he could not reach Mount Meru. And because of that, he incurred that curse. And because he incurred that curse, accidentally he killed his nephew, his sister's son. And because of that, because he was a Brahmana, because of that, he incurred that sin, Brahma Hatya ka sin. Now, the Guru has incurred that sin. So all the disciples, he engaged all these disciples to get rid of this Brahma Hatya. And that time, Yajnavalkya, he said that, why do you need the help of all these feeble, means who doesn't have much power, why do you need their help to get rid of this sin? I alone can dissolve you from this sin, dissolve this sin of Brahma Hatya. So that Yajnavalkya did not like. That what these disciples of yours, they doesn't have much power. I am much more powerful. And interestingly, Vaishampayan was a favorite disciple of Yajnavalkya was favorite disciple of Vaishampayan. But this attitude he did not like. That all others are useless and I am the only significant one. And therefore, then he cursed him, and then further story goes on. So I'm just taking this point of how somebody becomes pride, then he makes significant things insignificant and insignificant things significant. Indra made insignificant thing that, okay, they were not performing yajna. So he took it very significant thing. They are not worshipping me. And the significant personality, Narad Muni, was taken insignificant by Nalkuvar and Manigriv because of pride. So that is the meaning, basically. Pride makes you significant thing take insignificant and insignificant significant. So there is also a nice story about one time one great bird attacked heavenly planets and defeated all the devatas, including Indra. So everyone was astonished that how come one bird can overpower the power of all the demigods, and not only all the demigods, the most superpower is Indradev. So everyone was like astonished to see the power of this bird. So everyone was like discussing about how can this happen? How come this bird can defeat and take away the nectar which was protected? Even demons cannot took away, means they couldn't take away that nectar which was protected by demigods. But this bird took away that nectar pot from the devatas. So then they traced back, then Brihaspati, their guru, he told him that this bird is none other than Garudji, who was born, because of Indradev had become proud of his strength. So one time Kashyapji had arranged a sacrifice, a yajna, and in that he gave services to different people. So he gave to collect some wood for yajna, he gave this service to Indradev, and also same service was given to Vali Kilya Rishis. These rishis were, the size of their rishis has been explained that middle portion of the thumb, that was their size. So physically they were very weak. So same service was given. So Indradev, he brought a big, big mountains of wood. And these rishis, they were carrying, means all this group, they were, this is a group of rishis. All together, they carried only one leaf, the dry leaf of a palash, with them to the yajna. So when Indra was taking effortlessly this mountain of wood with him, so when he saw that, array, what is this? Vallikilya rishis, they are just carrying one leaf. And then that also group of the rishis. So he laughed at them and he crossed over. बोलते जैसे चीटियों को कैसे हम cross कर देते हैं. So similarly he crossed over them. So seeing this pride in Indradev, so they thought, okay, we'll create another Indra who will defeat this Indra. So physically they were weak. They were not having that skills. But it is said that what was their dhan, what was their wealth? The tapasya was their wealth. So with the help of that wealth, with that tapasya, they started a yajna to create another Indra. So when Indradev came to know about this, so he requested Kashyap Muni, but they are creating another Indra. So please do something. So Kashyap Muni went to the Vallikilya Rishis and told him that, don't overrule the arrangement of the Lord, please forgive him. So they said, okay, now you are creating Indra, so create a Khagendra. Khagendra means king of the birds. So then Vallikilya Rishis accepted that proposal. Already the yajna has been started, we have created this Indra. So he will become a king of the birds. And that's how Garudji appeared in this world, who could defeat Indra for the sake of relieving his mother, Vinata, from the slavery of his stepmother, Kadru. So he went to Swargaloka and defeated all these demigods, Indradev, who were protecting the Amruta, because that was the wager, actually. So, greatness of a person is not only having a skillfulness. Most of the time, when somebody becomes proud of his skills, then it defeats the purpose. The greatness has been said that it has three aspects. Talent is one of them, and other two has been explained that right attitude and spotless character. So this three comprises the greatness. Having a right attitude and having a spotless character. So, talent without right attitude and character is like a sweet rice without sugar. It's very attractive, but is of no taste. So one must be very careful of one's talent. And what exactly the attitude means, this has been discussed about Lord Ram. So attitude has a three aspect. What attitude, sometimes it becomes vague, so it has been described. Attitude means, first of all, when somebody is very talented, he feels that everyone should approach him. He does not approach anyone else. So one time I was hearing Radha Govind Maharaj's class, he was saying that one of the quality of Lord Ram was, he would first start the talk. First he will start the talk, and then, because if someone is great, he would always feel, or he feels that others should start, or others should begin the talk. Others should approach him. But Lord Ram's greatness was, although having such a great skills, he would go to the person and he would talk with him. So that is one of the attitude. Another thing is that sometimes people think self-reliant. Self-reliance. Because those who have a skill, they don't feel to be dependent on others. They feel, I'm sufficient. My skills are sufficient. So for that, it has been said, submissive inquiry. Submissive inquiry helps to overcome that defect. So attitude, that comes into under attitude. And third thing, that when somebody has self-reliance, he becomes insensitive to others. Sheer indifference towards others. So for that, that attitude comprises of empathy. Understanding others' situation. In what situation somebody is doing what. And empathizing with that person. And what exactly the character means? Character basically means having self-control, honesty and integrity. That is the character. So this is the full package of a shishya or a disciple. And this is what guru does to disciple. Not only he brings, not only he inspires the disciple, but he also develops him in these qualities of having right attitude and having a good character. And that is the meaning. And in the Yajurveda, which has been discussed, the definition of guru is given. What exactly the guru? Guru shabdastva andhakara syat, ru shabdastva nirodhaka, andhakara nirodhatvat, guru ritya vidiyate. What is the meaning of a guru? So in this word guru, this first word guru stand for ignorance. And ru stand for one, or removal of that ignorance. So guru is that person who removes or destroys that andhakar or the ignorance of a disciple. And that is very, that these qualities of talent, right attitude, and having a great character has been displayed in the life of Narottam Das Thakur. He displayed this. his dedication to his guru, submissiveness. And today, as is, we are celebrating his disappearance day, so I would like to describe his disappearance day pastime. So Narottam Das Thakur, he lived a long life. All the six Goswamis, they had left this planet. They even his dearmost friend, Srinivas Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, he had left this planet. And his dearmost companion, Ramchandra Kaviraj, in whose separation he had wrote this Jai Anilo Premadhana, that bhajan, he had also left. So he was in a great separation, lamenting the loss of all these companions and all these worshipable lords. And also he was in a great ecstasy, experiencing the bliss of bhakti. But at the same time, he was under constant attack of all the caste brahmanas. So as he was becoming very old, throughout his life he was under the attack, because he had become a great teacher, or he has become a guru. Although he was wealthiest person, landlord, but he was from the Kayastha family, which was considered Shudra. And because of that, no one accepted, means all the Brahman community did not accept Narottam Das Thakur in the position of a guru. And moreover, the great disciples, Ganga Narayan Chakravarti and even Ramchandra Kaviraj, they were from really, really high caste Brahmana families. They are from this caste Brahmana families. So that had infuriated them off, all these caste Brahmana. Because first of all, he is not qualified to be a guru, because he is from Kayastha family. And all these Brahmanas are becoming his disciple. So that envy was still there in the heart of these Brahmanas. So they would always blaspheme Narottam Das Thakur. As days passed by, Narottam Das Thakur, one day, seeing that now it's time to wrap up his earthly leelas, told his disciples that, please, he himself went on the bank of Mother Ganga and told his disciple to build funeral pyre for him. So disciples were really broken hearted. They felt shattered that in his presence, Narottam Das Thakur is asking to build that funeral pyre. So, but as Guru's order was there, so they built that. And Narottam Das Thakur, on the bank of that Ganga, he sat in the meditation, remembering Lord and meditating on his Leela. Did not speak a single word for next 3 days. And after 3 days, he left his body. So when seeing that Narottam Das Thakur left his body, so all these disciples who were watching their guru, so brought his body on the funeral pyre. And when all these caste brahmanas, they came to know about this, that Narottam Das Thakur had passed away, or Narottam Das Thakur left his body, so they all gathered on the bank of Ganges and they started blaspheming Narottam Das Thakur and his disciples. Right on the funeral pyre was set there. They were saying, you all disciples, useless disciples of this useless guru. who had accepted this guru's position wrongly, you, all this caste brahmana, you have also spoiled your dharma by accepting him as your guru. And this way they were blaspheming and blaspheming. Hearing this, Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, the foremost disciple of Narottam Das Thakur, he and everyone else, they were feeling so much of pain in their heart that this useless fellow, actually, even somebody is bad on his deathbed or on after his death, the people speak good about him. But these people were speaking so much blasphemy about the great soul. They had become offender and were offending such a great personality, Narottam Das Thakur, who was such a dear disciple, such a dear parshada of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Krishna himself. As they were weeping, and they were, Ganga Narayan Chakravarti was pleading to the body of Narottam Das Thakur, please do something. They are blaspheming so much. They have offended. And this offense will not have any prayaschitta. Please, do something about this. So hearing their plea, Narottam Das Thakur got back to his life. And he sat on that funeral pyre again. And as he was sitting on that funeral pyre, the effulgence of his body spread all over, and a golden thread, Yajnapavit, appeared on his body. Seeing this scene, all the brahmanas, they understood the position of Narottam Das Thakur. And immediately they all fell at the lotus feet of Narottam Das Thakur. And they beg forgiveness from him. Please, forgive me. Forgive us, we have offended you. We did not realize your position. Externally we were judging you. And for that, immediately, Narottam Das Thakur, as a compassionate Vaishnava, actually he came back to life just to relieve them from this offense. Immediately forgive them, and they all became his disciples. So Narottam Das Thakur again, then he lived for a few days performing his bhajan in secluded place. Meditating on Lord's pastime. One day again he called all his disciples and asked them to take him to the Ganges for bath. So all the disciples, they took him to take bath in the Ganga. And when he was taking bath in the Ganga, he also asked all his disciples to take bath in Ganga and pour water on him. So as they were pouring water on him, so his body was melting and it was transforming into the milk. And his body was transforming into milk and milk. And the disciples, they were seeing that the body is transforming into milk. But now that was the order of their spiritual master. They continued doing that. And this way, Narottam Das Thakur disappeared from this world. So whatever milk was gathered over there, the milk was collected by the disciples and they built Dudh Samadhi of Narottam Das Thakur. And also we have a Samadhi in Vrindavan. So some some acharya says that some of the milk from that place is been taken to the Vrindavan Dham, and that samadhi is built. This is how Narottam Das Thakur, while living, means he also showed compassion to the living entities of this Kali Yuga. Through Parikshit Maharaj, when he passed away, when Lord protected him, so throughout his life, he protected Dharma and dharmic principle. And when he was living, when he was supposed to leave this world, Lord, through him, gave a book, Bhagavatam, which can help the people who will come in the Kali Yuga to protect them from adharma. So by protecting his life, his body, that time Krishna protected dharma that way. And even while living, when he was supposed to leave this world, Krishna gave Bhagavatam through Parikshit Maharaj. And that is the life of a devotees. It is for the compassion of the living entities of this world. So this is what I could gather about this shloka. So I'll just summarize what we have discussed today. In the first section, we discussed about how Lord protected Parikshit Maharaj, how much Lord was affectionate towards this family of Pandavas, Vishnu Rataha and Brahma Rata. Shukdeva Goswami was also protected by Lord. The second thing we discussed about how Parikshit Maharaj transcended his swabhava and feeling compassionate towards living entity. The second thing we discussed about pride, that in the story of Vaishampayan and Yajnavalka. So pride has, greatness has three aspects. The first is talent, skillfulness. Second is right attitude. And third is a spotless character. And the third thing we discussed about Narottam Das Thakur's disappearance day. So thank you all very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.